You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
As our countdown to Cheltenham continues, you are very welcome back to the Final Front Podcast. I'm Emmett Kennedy, and today I am joined by somebody who rode arguably the greatest certainty in the history of the Cheltenham Festival. Let me take you back very briefly to 2011. One of the greatest flat trainers of all time, Sir Henry Cecil, saddled Plato, a wide margin winner of a flat maiden with a beautiful pedigree by arc winner Bago, the dam and unraced sister to the outstanding Miesque, carrying one of the most famous silks in racing, the Niarchos family, backed into even money. The pressure was very much on this jockey's shoulders, but Lorna was cool as ice, producing a perfectly timed run to win by an easy length and a half, to lift a trophy that not even Ruby Walsh and Tony McCoy won, getting her hands on the coveted St. Patrick's Day Derby. Lorna Fowler, welcome back to the Final Furlong Podcast.
Thank you very much. Yes, none of those great jockeys got that one. None, but lots of other good riders got that one, but no. No, I have one over on Ruby Walsh and AP McCoy, that's for sure.
Take that, Ruby. And you retired in the saddle with something that very, very few people can do. A 100% record at the Cheltenham Festival. And even Sir Henry bowed out with a 100% record at Cheltenham. All thanks to Lorna Fowler.
Do you know what? It's really funny, but people, lots of people remember it. And it was a really big deal at the time. And it still is a big deal, you know, looking back. But Henry actually took it really seriously. He was really into it. It was Frankel's. And we were, basically it was before everything got going, you know, so we were getting moving in, you know, January, February, March, and you know, the flat gears hadn't really kicked in yet. So he was really into it, and he was, yeah, and make no mistake, he wanted to win. So yeah, the pressure was on, never mind the price, the pressure was definitely on from Henry. So it was brilliant though, absolutely brilliant.
I remember that being covered by Racing TV in the build-up, or Racing UK as it was back then, and he openly saying, yeah, I'm only taking part in this if I can win, and two, if I'm given a competent rider. I'm not interested in some amateur for this. So there really was a lot of pressure on you.
No, well, I remember when I was put forward for the ride and he called me up, basically said, look, I have no idea if you can ride a horse or not. He said, look, I can't have somebody riding my horse that can't hold it together and it does a leg. And he says, look, come in and ride out in the morning. And look, if you're no good, I'll send you on your way. And, you know, if you're okay, we'll see. And that was it. So he made it very clear on the phone that he'd see what I rode like, and if I wasn't good enough, then I was a horse. So it was made pretty clear. But you know, it was a brilliant time for me. I absolutely loved it. I ended up riding out for the season there as well, and it was altogether a brilliant experience and a brilliant time to be in the Cecil Yard. It was, you know, like I say, it was Frankel's 3-year-old year, and there was Midday and Vita Nova, and it was just Jet Away. He was there then too, and it was just a very special time to be there.
I remember that vividly because I was in a pub, Barry's in Douglas, and John O'Sullivan, Tom Houlihan, all my friends and I, we steamed into Lorna and Centenary Cecil in that race. Like, just total degenerate gambling of the highest order, but great memories.
Yeah, well, there you go. You got your money, not very much given the price, but at least you got the money.
A winner's a winner, Lorna. And when you're struggling for a winner at Cheltenham, those even money favourites can look very enticing. Your horse going to the Cheltenham Festival this year, though, is not going to be an even money favourite, but you are looking for big race success, hopefully. And that's going to be Colonel Mustard in the Champion Hurdle. This has been a long-term plan, and he's a bloody good horse. 19 starts. He's been placed on 13 occasions, 2 wins, including form with Stateman in the County Hurdle when he was third to him 2 years ago. How is the Ginger Ninja?
The Ginger Ninja. He's in really great form. I couldn't be happier with him at the moment. He's just, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we fumble around over, you know, in the autumn. Actually, that's not always true. He's won in the autumn and he's won at Christmas at Ascot. Sorry, not won, being placed over at Christmas at Ascot. But I found the last couple of seasons, you know, it's just not been straightforward, you know, in the early part of the season. And then the campaign has sort of fallen into place. And I think that he's, you know, it's sort of fallen into place. And I think we had the idea to enter him in the Champion Hurdle when, you know, we saw Constitution Hill was, well, yeah, obviously he was in it at that point. And we thought, you know what, maybe a few people will be scared off. So, you know, why not have an entry? You know, whenever he's run in a grade, he's been in the first three. So, you know, he seems to raise his game on the big stage. He was, as you pointed out, third in the County Hurdle. I think that it didn't seem like a crazy idea to put the entry in, and I don't think it seems like a crazy idea to run him now.
No, I don't think so at all. He's got massive place prospects. I know officially he's got a rating of 146, but he's better than that mark, and he's been second in a Champion Hurdle trial in the build-up to this as well, which a number of these horses are just either out of form or they're trying something different because they kind of have to. Technically speaking, that is sort of the case with you as well. You started a campaign going novice chasing. You were behind Found a 50 early in the season, the late Hermes Allen at Newbury. He just didn't really seem to take to it though, Lorna.
No, and he actually went over... We've tried him off for the last two seasons going over fences, and I think he was actually slightly less promising this time round than the time before, you know, when we started him off. He went to Navan and Ferry House, and then this time he went to Newbury. I think at Newbury, though, I don't think he was right. I think that he, make no mistake, I don't think he particularly... I don't think he doesn't enjoy the fences, actually. I just don't think he has any real appetite for them. And you need a horse that really has an appetite to wing a fence and attack it. And he's careful and he doesn't have it. So I don't think he actually minds jumping. He makes a nice shape over them. But it's kind of not his bag, you know, and that's the way it is. So we've started off the last two seasons novice chasing him. And I think, though, at Newbury, we decided to put a line through it. But like I say, I think at Newbury, you know, he didn't sort of come out of the race. He went into the race, you know, sort of health-wise looking good, but he didn't come out of it that way. And I think, you know, so I think you sort of have to put a line through that from every point of view. And then I actually wanted to run him at Leopardstown in the Grade One in the Irish Champion Hurdle, but to be honest with you, he just wasn't right. A few of mine weren't right at the time, and he wasn't badly wrong. Stupid to run him and bottom him, and then that's the season over. So we sat on our hands for a bit, and then we thought about Goran Orwin Canton. But Goran was going to be, for all the fact it was down the road, it was going to be pretty hard work. So we went to Wincanton, which was a big trip. And there's no doubt, you know, two big trips in in 3 weeks is, you know, it's plenty. But he does happily travel well. You know, he's quite good at conserving his energy in that respect. And we've given him everything we can for recovery, etc., etc. But right now, his well-being tells me that he is definitely none the worse for his Wincanton trip.
Well, that's a massive help. Have you thought about how you're going to ride him and who's going to be on board?
Yeah, I'd like JJ Slevin to ride him. JJ's ended up, I suppose, most recently anyway, doing a lot of the work on him. He rode him in a schooling hurdle, and he would have ridden him at Wincanton, but he wasn't available. And Daryl Jacob gave him a beautiful ride there, without question. But, you know, at the end of the day, JJ's undoubtedly put in the most miles on the horse, and also JJ's a very good jockey, so he knows me, so that to me makes sense. How I'll ride him, I don't know. Well, I do know, you know, he certainly won't be out in front, because he never is, and that is the one thing you don't want to be with him. I think really we just need to look at the final field, and then you sort of put your different jigsaws together, you know, can go a few different ways.
He is a horse you will just not want out in front. And I think we just need to see the final fields, see what the decks look like. And then you just need to, you know, I think you need to think about all the different way the races could be run. And then it's sort of up to the jockey to have all the scenarios that when he comes into the race, then you sort of have that subliminally into your mind, I suppose. And then you have to race on your instinct, because you've no idea how the race is going to unfold after that. And therefore, you need to, you know, and that's where the good jockeys are. They think on their feet, and they, you know, that's they get it right. The good jockeys get that right. And that's the important bit. So yeah, who knows? You never know how, but you do need to think of all the scenarios at the same time.
Oh, very much so, particularly in a championship race at Cheltenham. The race itself has just changed so much with Constitution Hill coming out of it. When that happened, what do you make of, I mean, you're training horses every single day, you're steeped in racing, you were born into the sport, you're a broadcaster for Racing UK, your husband is a famous breeder, obviously involved in the ownership of this horse as well. When you saw him blow out like that, did you know straight away he's not making Cheltenham?
Necessarily. My instinct was that he wouldn't, I suppose, having seen the footage. I know Nico eased him right down, but and Nicky was, to be fair to him, he's been brilliant with the media, kept him fully updated when he must be, you know, it's just not a great time for him. And I you know, you have to commend him for his continuous updates to the media. But you know, I think it's very, very hard for any yard to keep sickness out of the yard at some point during the year. And I think that it's very unfortunate that obviously the timing is as it is on this for Constitution Hill. You know, his entire season's been campaigned around this race, and, you know, the eggs were put into that basket, and they can't, yeah, they can't use that basket. But look, they'll think again. There are other opportunities, and, you know, there are other sort of brilliant racing. There's Aintree, there's Punchestown. You know, so many different options to think of. So, you know, you can't run a horse that's sick. You can run a horse that's been sick and is getting better in time, but you can't run a sick horse. You know, if nothing else, even if you got away with it, you know, you'll bottom them for the next time, you know, for a very, very long time. And, you know, I think that's an important thing to know.
Yeah, very much so. It's great to get that piece of insight from you as well. How amazing would it be, though, Cheltenham's loss is Ireland's gain, if we get Constitution Hill to Punchestown?
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. I'd say there's a good chance. You know, Nicky brings horses over to Punchestown a good bit. And I can't remember the gap between Aintree and Punchestown this year. I actually can't remember it. Fairy House and Punchestown's a big gap. I think there's not much of a gap between Fairy House and Aintree, but he could do both. Who knows? I mean, you know, that's where you've got to listen to your horse. But yes, it would be brilliant to get Constitution Hill over for Punchestown. And amazing prize money on offer at Punchestown. You know,
yeah.
It's brilliant racing, brilliant festival.
I presume the Colonel will be there as well.
Well, hold on there. Let's just take one step at a time. But yes, I think it could be an option. But, you know, you just don't know where you're going to go. We've always thought of many different ways to campaign this horse. And we've been very lucky that in many ways he has been very versatile. And we went to, you know, took a completely different route last year, and we're off to. I'd say Punch sounds very likely, but I can't put it down as a guarantee. Let's one step at a time, one step at a time. So let's go.
Getting slightly ahead of myself there, Lorna. Just a tad little bit ahead of myself.
That's okay. Why not?
You train at an incredible facility. You've been kind enough to invite me up there. It's a 700-acre estate. Your husband is breeding horses there as well, but he's also involved in the ownership of this horse. So for both of you to be heading to Cheltenham, competing in the Champion Hurdle, one of the most prestigious championship races of the entire season, what does that mean for both of you?
Oh, it means a huge amount. Yeah, I think you sort of, you know, as it gets a bit closer, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to have a runner. It's a big deal to have a runner at Cheltenham. Make no mistake, Cheltenham is still got its pedestal. And there is something different, though, and it's a different feel, a different vibe off people to have a runner in one of the blue ribbon races rather than, you know, a handicap or even novices, grade ones. You know, it's the Gold Cup, the Queen Mother and the Champion Hurdle. To me, they are
They're the big ones. I can see the headline now. Colonel Mustard kills state man's champion hurdle dream at Prestbury Park. Not with candlestick, but with perfectly timed ride and brilliant training performance. Lorna, pleasure to talk to you as always on the Final Furlong Podcast. The very best of luck with Colonel Mustard in the champion hurdle at Cheltenham. And please God, we'll talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Final Furlong Podcast. Really hope you've enjoyed it. If you did, check out our YouTube channel. We are brand new there. We're still growing. And we can only do that with your help. So subscribe to us on the Final Furlong Podcast YouTube channel for more Cheltenham Festival content. And we got more great content coming your way very, very soon, including daily previews for Cheltenham 2024 with our top team. That's all to come on the Final Furlong Podcast. All of us, look after yourself and each other. God bless.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.